Catechesis.
Catechisms.
Catechisms.
What are they? Should we be catechizing our children? We had I encountered a question on Twitter recently, as I sometimes do, where someone said, hey, we are stuck in a rut as a family. Our Bible reading tends to be all over the place. I need some help. We need some structure. What should I do? Should I read through the Bible, start to finish, or should I catechize my children? Those are the two options. So how do we answer that question? And we'll answer that on the other side. If you're a fierce parenting viewer, listener, you're smart enough to say you don't have to choose one or the other.
You shouldn't choose.
You shouldn't. It's both. The answer is both and. Okay. And so we want to talk about that a little bit more in detail today, because I think there probably is some fog for some families around what is a catechism?
Yeah.
Is it useful? Is it strictly related to, you know, maybe a different tradition that is not, we're not part of? What does it even mean?
Yeah.
So before we do that, introductions. My name is Ryan. This is my lovely, wonderful wife, Selena, the mother of my four daughters, my ex-girlfriend, and my favorite person in the whole world.
The mother of your four daughters, your ex-girlfriend, not the mother of your ex. You better watch your flow there, buddy.
Well, it's a comma. There's a comma in there.
Yes. Anyways.
So go ahead.
We're here. We're happy. We're hanging out with the Fierce Fellowship. If you don't know what that is,
nice.
You should know.
What is it, Selena?
It is where our patrons come together and patronize us.
No. Yeah, we just love being patronized. No, this is tough. Like, doing this type of work is actually pretty tough to do unless you get help from your community.
Yes.
And so we do get help from our community, our lovely patrons. We call the Fierce Fellowship. Fierce Fellowship. So we have six new patrons over the past few weeks, actually the past week. Matt, welcome to the Fierce Fellowship. Paul M., Zach and Marin Barrett, and Sherman and Danny with an I, Gardner. Welcome to the fellowship. It's a pleasure to have you.
Yes.
Look forward to interacting with you there. If you want to partner with us, go to fierceparenting.com/partner and you'll find options there. You can join that thriving community. Okay, so I'll repeat the question just for the sake of clarity here.
Yes, I do think you should.
Someone asked on Twitter. They didn't ask me. They asked it into the ether, which is now called X, by the way. Twitter is so like, I don't know, May.
Anyways.
It's called X now. And here's what it says. We're floundering. We need structure in our family Bible times. Should we read the Bible with our kids or catechize them? And it was, and he left a poll. I said, yes or no. So I know we have both answers, but what would you click? If you had to click A, read the Bible to your kids front to back, or B, catechize them.
Read the Bible, hands down.
That's what I
mean,
too.
You could catechize, but you're going to need the Bible for the references. So.
Well, it comes down to what you're hoping to accomplish your family Bible time, right?
Yes. Yes, because you'll approach the Bible depending on what your hopes and desires are for it. But the Bible is our authority.
Authority. Did you know that you just had an Eric Cartman reference? Did you know that?
No, take that off. Cut.
I'm keeping it.
We're not.
And that was an Office reference.
What is, for those of us who may not know, which I do know, but I didn't know growing up, what is a catechism? What is it?
Well, I would word it like this. I know that there's other more formal definitions of it that you're probably going to read because you got it handy right there.
I do.
I would say they're preformed questions with rote answers you give to kids for them to memorize so they can understand the big truths of scripture at a young age.
Yes.
Now, adults catechize as well.
Yes, they do. I will read it.
Sunny's off camera right now and we're feeding her while we're recording this. So
you would just know your Bible.
Is there any more way to do a fierce parenting episode?
I'm sure there is. She's on the verge, friends. Okay.
We need help. Send help.
No.
If you want podcast episodes, we need
catechism.
Someone to watch our baby 2 hours a week.
Okay, Mr. Greek scholar.
Yeah, right.
From the Greek word catechesis is simply instruction on the basic doctrines of the Christian faith. So instead of replacing or supplanting the role of the Bible in Christian education, catechism ideally serves as the basis for it.
As the basis for the Christian education.
Yeah.
So it's not, that's the Wikipedia definition.
No, that's not Wikipedia. How dare you think I just go to Wikipedia?
Where'd you get that?
It's from reformedsomething.com.
It's better be good now. It's better be good. Even check your sources. You yes. are fake news.
ChristianReformed.org, ChristReformed.org. And it is an article by Dr. Kim Riddlebarger.
Okay, I have no idea who that is or what that is.
The importance of and practice of catechism, Christ Reformed Church.
Okay, so I'm going to, that's great. I'm going to fall back on more familiar sources for catechism
sure.
questions. So so what's an example of a catechism? Let's just put that out there.
Yes.
Here's one. What is the chief end of man? You would ask your kids this question. What is the chief end of man? And our kids would reply.
The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever.
Yeah. And that's from the Westminster Shorter Catechism. That's right. Question number one. How many questions are there in the Westminster?
I don't know.
I think there's like 150 or something.
Right.
So there's a lot. That's all it is. It helps your kids gain a systematic theology.
Yes.
Without having to read the entire Bible from front to back. So I want to go back to this first question, and we're gonna continue just asking questions.
Well, and the answers and questions are there's what a minimum like 10 scriptures that they're
based on, yeah,
based on and backed up by.
So here's the big thing we need to debunk around confessions, catechisms, creeds. And scripture. So on one side of the equation, you'll have hyper-traditionalists
right.
who will say like the creeds and confessions are basically the word of God to us. Hmm. I don't agree with that.
Right.
And I don't think most Christians wouldn't agree with that either. On the other side of the spectrum, you have these people that say, we don't need any of that extra stuff. We need the Bible. And nobody that I know would disagree with that either.
Right.
Yes, we just need the Bible. Now, does that mean that catechisms, creeds, confessions are useless to us? Mm-mm. No, they're the culmination of centuries of Christian knowledge of very, very smart people who loved Christ, mm-hmm. who followed him, who obeyed him, who synthesized clear, succinct articulations of faithful Christian doctrine.
Yes.
What?
I don't know that I could ever... If I would have grown up with catechisms, I think it would have served me well in my young adult angst of, you know, kind of building my own faith or whatever that is, you know, when you're faced with doubts, when you're faced with some of the bigger questions of life, what do you fall on? Like, who is God? What is God? Like, what are those, all of those things answer very clearly, very precisely and rooted in scripture. So it's, to me, it feels like a no-brainer to be catechizing your children.
Yeah.
And I am learning so much as an adult that I wish that I had been raised in it.
Yeah, me
too. Like you said, it's clarifying. It is, we want to be our children to be equipped to face the world that's out there, knowing their Bible and to be able to do so in a winsome way.
Yeah. I wish I would have been catechized as a child. My parents didn't have that as part of, it wasn't in their radar.
Yeah.
Here's one from the Belgic Confession as one more example. I love, the Heidelberg Catechism. The Belgic Confession is incredible. Confessions are meant to be just usually they're about 100 to 200 words of just, this is what we as Christians believe. The Apostles' Creed is similar to that. Well, the confessions are longer. The creeds are longer.
Creeds are longer, yeah.
Creeds are shorter.
Shorter.
Confessions are longer. There it is. Sonny concurs. Here's one from the Heidelberg Catechism, and I love this one. There's usually short versions, and there's usually longer versions. But imagine teaching your children this. Okay, you ask little Johnny this question. What is your only comfort in life and death? And Johnny comes back at you and says, that I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and death, and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Mm. That's the basic answer to the question. Wonderful. That I am not my own, but I belong to Jesus Christ. And then it goes on to say this, for he has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and has delivered me from the tyranny of the devil. Mm. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Here it goes. Because I belong to him, Christ, by his Holy Spirit, and also assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. That's the long version. So that's wonderful. And here's what I'm reading, by the way, if you want to check this out, it's called Creeds, Confessions, and Catechisms. It's edited by a guy named Chad Van Dixhorn. Mm. He's actually one of my church history professors at Westminster, which I'm wearing the shirt today. Hail. If you're just not sold on the idea of catechesis or confessions, a great book by the name of The Creedal Imperative by Carl Truman changed my mind on this issue. And so if you're on the fence, I encourage you to at least check that out if you're open to it.
Well, and I think those are books for parents, adults, like you're saying. We've done the Westminster shorter catechisms for children. There's an app that you can get the music to, and they make it to songs so that you can teach your kids and walk through. There's got to be at least 50, I think, of them.
There's an amazing well of resources
that's served
on these
us
things.
Well, especially with the younger kids.
Yeah, so that's what catechesis is. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the Bible aspect of it, but I do want to back up a little bit and say, okay, we're doing family worship time. We're doing family Bible time. We're saying we are a Christian household.
Right.
Kids, let's gather around this heart, the warm hearth that is the Word of God. Let us know our God and let's worship Him together. What is the goal of that time? What is the goal of teaching our kids anything about the Bible, whether it's from Scripture or from some sort of confession or creed? Here it is, that they'll love God and worship Him alone, that they will obey God. These are our goals. This is the end game. And both of the above, the loving God and obeying God, means they must know Him. Mm-hmm. But to know Him, they need to know what He says, but also what He means. And to me, that's where they both come in. Because you can read the Bible front and back to your infant child.
Yeah.
And in some sense, they will have heard what God said. Mm-hmm. Right? You can read it to your five-year-old. And in some sense, they will know what God has said. But do they know what it means?
Right.
And so what the catechisms do and what the creeds and confessions do is they distill it down and they faithfully articulate what it means. And they come alongside to help explain Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, I think they're very powerful.
They're super powerful. Yeah.
Yeah.
So again, we don't think it has to be one or the other. We think they're both valuable when you're sitting down to do family worship. With our homeschool co-op Deco, our good friends, the Myers, have put together this little opening pamphlet thing. It's
the
like
formations.
It's a formative studies thing, 8x10, fold in half. It has how to pray. It has the catechisms that we go through, the Bible verses we're memorizing, and then the hymn that we're doing for that unit. So this is something that's helping form their hearts, so hence why it's called formative studies. And so we use that to kind of, we go through it every day because it's a part of our community and something we're learning and growing in, but we also go through the Bible as well because whatever you're reading or leading, wanting to lead in that area. And we've memorized, the Apostles' Creed. We haven't done any confessions. Those are much larger. So again, it's all of these things that you can use in discipling your kids. Like, what is the chief end of man? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Okay, and when you're dealing with a discipline issue and we're talking about, what was one of the catechesis? What's the second one?
How many persons are there in God, that one?
No. But anyways, you can rein it back in to be like, okay, if you're fighting with your sister, are you glorifying God in how you're acting right now? There's multiple ways that catechisms can serve your family.
Right. So we've talked about that. We talked about the catechesis part. Now, if you're also in your Bible time and you're wondering, okay, how do we approach Scripture together? There's different ways to approach it.
Yeah.
And there's different attitudes within which we approach it. And here's what we found is helpful. And maybe this will give you some ideas. I know that in general, there's three ways that I read the Bible and we do it together.
Yeah.
We read for volume because I just want to get the stories in me. I want to be so familiar with Scriptures. I want to be able to know where in each chapter, what I'm going to find. If someone mentions a story in the Bible, I want to be able to roughly know where it is.
Yes.
That's broad reading. So we read for volume, many chapters a day. Then there's deep study, where you're taking maybe one or two chapters. You're taking a pericope. You're taking a half a chapter and you're diving deep into it with the intention of understanding that specific passage. And then the third level is memorization. And the whole point of that is to get it deep into your guts so that you can recall it at a moment's notice.
Yeah.
Well, I would approach it the same way with kids. We want to help the kids travel the full topography of Scripture as soon as they're ready.
Yeah.
We also want to teach them how to mine the depths of Scripture to get the meaning out of it, how to eat steak, not just milk. We also want to put the memory verses in their hearts so that when they grow, they'll have those treasures locked away for future reference.
Yes. And I think all of those things happen because it's within the ages and stages of where they're at, right? Like Sunny is learning, how to just listen to music, right? Louisa is four. She'll say back the catechisms, you know, which most of our kids did by that age. There's nothing more beautiful than hearing little voices say these things. But the thing is that she doesn't understand like the weight of what is being said. She doesn't understand the depth always of what is being said. She does have childlike faith. She does understand. Oh, she's starting to make the connections though that, mm-hmm. oh, the Bible says this and we sing this song and this says this, like, is this the same thing? Like she's starting to put flesh on the bones, right? So when they're young, you kind of got to just give them the bones. You got to give them the grammar. It's called the grammar stage. You're giving them the words so that they can then take what they are learning and mowing over and memorizing and then begin to understand what that is. So they're not tripping up on just learning and knowing it. They already know it. Now they're able to go deeper into it because they already are familiar with the terms. It's not a new vocabulary to them, right?
Yeah, I love it. So here's some strategies that might help for your ages and stages. So, two and below, basically they're taking in whatever,
right?
You know, they are cognitively still developing.
We're just doing
absolutely
songs.
Like sing songs around them, read scriptures to them. Yeah. So I would say up until age four, like I would say, don't expect them to start understanding things until two and a half, three. Right. Is that?
Yeah. To some degree. Sure.
And
they're
always they're sponges. Right. So yes, I get that. But we're reading to them specifically so they'll understand it at these stages.
Yeah.
The narratives. So we want them to know what stories take place in the Bible. Who are the people? What are the events? Roughly, where do they sit in terms of the redemptive history of God's people?
Yeah.
We want them to know that because Adam and Eve fell, Christ came and died. Mm. Like we want them to put those two dots together.
Yes.
We don't want them to think Adam and Eve is an isolated story and then Jesus is Jesus and they're not in any way related. We want them to know that the Mosaic Covenant had to do with the law of God, which we don't satisfy. Now, this, you have to be apparent about it and distill it down for them. But that's what I mean by narratives is the big story. So I would start with Genesis, Exodus, and the Gospels at that age.
Yeah.
And to me, that's a no-brainer. Now, 4, 5, on to 10, that's when our conviction is we want our children to sit under the full counsel of God in that we're trying our best to get through all of scripture systematically.
Yeah.
Our girls are on Bible reading plans. I think they've read through Genesis, all of John, much of Matthew.
They do the Psalms too.
The Psalms. I think they're getting into Exodus now. That's our 9-year-old and our 7-year-old, our readers in the home. And then also we're reading to them.
Yes.
But the idea here is volume. We want them to get a broad topographic view of scripture to understand it. We want them to have biblical literacy so that when you throw a name like Josiah out at them, they know that Josiah was a king. Mm-hmm. When you throw Solomon out at them, they know that Solomon was David's son. You know, when you throw Esau out at them, they know that Esau was Jacob's brother. Mm,
yeah.
So we want them to be able to, without having to dig for it, just to know these stories well enough so that when you start putting in some of the, not just Bible literacy, but the gospel fluency pieces in there, that it'll just come to life. It'll be the third dimension on this whole thing. And then we haven't gotten to this stage yet, so we're kind of working with this, but I'm picturing that 11 up, our oldest is 10. We'll get into more of the deep study. In terms of how do we actually get into a text and realize what it means instead of just reading ourselves into the text or guessing at what it means or taking a few words and knowing like there's an objective meaning here. Mm-hmm. God has said something. We need to hear what he said, not what we want him to say.
Right.
And so that's what I mean by deep study is teaching your kids to see the cues in the text and to be able to go off the cues that the authors of the text and Holy Spirit put in there for us to mine the true meaning of it, the interpretation of it. So those are some ideas for scripture. Now, if all that seems daunting, we have a solution for you. Creeds, confessions, and catechisms. Okay, I'm serious because if you're thinking, it'd be wonderful if we could just, in our humanity, read the Bible from front to back and understand every core doctrine that God has for us.
Right.
And indeed, if you can do that, and every Christian should, it is understandable. It's intelligible to us. God has not hidden his truths from us.
Right.
But we are also very limited in our abilities to unpack it in a way that is cohesive. And so when we look to people wiser than us who spent many hours on this, I think we're actually humbling ourselves to say, teach me.
Yes.
And we can be taught by some of the most brilliant theological minds of the last 1,000 years or the last 500 years. And we can look at them and say, teach us. And they say, here you go. Here's a book that will teach you the core doctrines of the faith that you believe. That's wonderful.
It's so beautiful.
And so if some of the stuff that we've presented, meaning biblical literacy, gospel fluency, right, deep study, if that's confusing, you're wondering, I can't do that. I'm not equipped to do that. I don't even hardly have time to dig into it. We're here to tell you there are those who have done it.
Yes.
So read the Bible.
They've done it well.
Read the Bible and read and supplement it with these wonderful creeds and confessions that I think are so often overlooked because they're either, you know, they're too old or they feel like they're not relevant. And I'm telling you, they couldn't be more relevant to the tasks of raising little disciples of Christ. Mm. So, and there's lots of great tools to that end as well, of which we have some coming out, but more on that later. anything else, Sel?
No, I think it's good.
Okay. That being said, if you've made it the end of the episode, you made it this far, we want to make sure that you don't make it to the end without hearing about who Christ is, or at least finding a way toward a saving faith in Christ. Mm. And so we want you to know him. We don't want you just to think, oh, the Bible is a wise book and it's full of fun stories or useful stories, or that, you know, these old documents are valuable because smart people put them together. We want you to know the God of the Bible who authored the Bible, because that's the whole point of all of it, is to know him, to love him, to obey him, to glorify him.
Yes.
That's why we were created. We want you to place your faith in Christ, which is the very beginning of that process. So to do that, we recommend three things. You go find a friend who knows Jesus and say, hey, help me know Jesus. Second thing is find a church that preaches out of the Bible. Mm-hmm. Hopefully your friend can take you to that church, so you have a friend there. If you don't have either of those things immediately, then we have a third solution. That's a website that will help you. It's thenewsisgood.com. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word that is sufficient in itself. Your word is enough. It is clear. It is authoritative. And it is inerrant in that it will teach us all of your doctrines in a right way. But I thank you for your word, but I also thank you that you've given us a legacy of incredibly wise believers that have gone before us to help articulate your doctrines in a way that help us understand them and embrace them and obey you even more wholeheartedly. So Lord, I pray you help us have wisdom as parents to follow you faithfully as we lead our children in their faith with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for enduring with us. Again, if you want a partner, we would love that. It would help us find a 2 hours a week babysitter for our lovely loud baby. You've endured with us. If you want to partner with us, go to fierceparenting.com/partner. Otherwise, we will be here again, Lord willing. So this episode of Fierce Parenting is
in the can.
See you again in 7 days. Until next time.
Stay fierce.